About Drupal, a custom website platform. February 12, 2007.
So, okay. So did you look at any of this kind of stuff?
Briefly.
Because you mentioned Drupal, so you looked
I looked at it about 2 days or 3 days after we met, I think, the last time, the communications thing. And I just looked at what you had done and kind of clicked around and saw where Jessica had gotten on, put some pictures on, and, oh, this is so fun and exciting kind of message. And I just breezed around, tried to get a feel for it, and that's about it. I didn't really have time to do that. I don't even think I got a good feel for it.
So what Howard was referring to with, like, the generational evolution of, like, these websites, was, mm-hmm. like he said, the first one is static, hey, look, mm-hmm. I made a page, mm-hmm. I posted up. And then this next gen is, like, people managing stuff on their own, mm-hmm. right? Kind of like the MySpace, sure. or whatever. So there's a couple... I'm most familiar with the open source world, so that's community development of software versus a company producing a software package. It's like a bunch of individual companies needing a database server, mm-hmm. and then it's more valuable for them to fix bugs and push it up forward to a contributed package. And to get that for give that time away for free, because they get more out of it by getting everybody else's scratch their own itch contributions to the whole. Mm-hmm. And then also, if they need to customize it, all the code is open because it's free, mm-hmm. and then they can make whatever changes they want.
So it's like a mantra. I mean, it's just certain people live by, I don't know, certain beliefs, and that's like a way to go where...
Well, no, it's very business-oriented, too. Like, all the special effects houses, right? They have, like, thousands of servers to render out, you know, mm-hmm. Toy Story or whatever. Mm-hmm. They need to run operating systems on those servers. It would cost them an arm and a leg to buy enough licenses to install Windows 10 mm-hmm. on those. So what are you going to do? Well, the first thing you can do is in-house, you could build your own operating system to fill up all your 1,000 servers mm-hmm. so that you have a solution. Which some people might have done, but there's Linux, I don't know if you've heard of that, mm-hmm. that's an operating system, and that's been around enough that it'll run on their servers, and it might not do everything they want it to because they're special effects house and they need to do this or that. So then they just write that little piece, but it's the part of the contract in being able to use Linux is that if you contribute something, it has to go back.
Okay.
So even though they're giving away,
there's
a license called the GNU Public License that says if you use this software, you're free to charge people for it, you can commercialize it, you can do whatever, but if you write a piece of code that depends on it and it's necessary for its function, that has to get released back because it's a tit for tat. Sure. You're given and taken both ways. So that's the community I'm familiar with. And anyway, because this content management stuff is so popular, I mean, every mom and pop shop needs to do this kind of stuff. Small businesses all around the world. There's some of these solutions that have sprung up, and they're content management systems, which means they're... And so this one is called Drupal, but some other buzzwords you may hear. There's one called Joomla. There's one called Mambo. Those are kind of the big three that a lot of people use. And they're run, I mean, they've been especially popular lately for running, like, newspaper sites, mm-hmm. because there's a lot of push of content, various editors and all this mm-hmm. kind of stuff, and plus they want to get buzzy on the interactive stuff, and, like, people have blogs and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, that's this base piece of software. It's free. You buy a hosting account with a hosting company, and they provide the servers and the network access and the uptime and all of that. And then you go and download this package and you upload it to their server. And now you access that server to access your copy of the software. Mm-hmm. It starts out with very...
Space.
Right. And that's, you know, very generic. Thousands of people offer it, varying price ranges, and they have limits on, like how much bandwidth you can use every mm-hmm. month or how much disk space you have, and they mm-hmm. price accordingly. Again, our site's going to be relatively low traffic because we aren't, like, distributing movies sure. or anything. So it should be pretty cheap. So after you have the core, which lets you do quite a bit, there's modules that people contribute to plug in. So I want to do X, I want to do Y. So the modules provide that functionality. So there's these are some of the categories that the different modules they try to answer some of these problems, right? So,
so these are pre-built.
Pre-built
just kind of like what At Home has.
Right.
Things just turn on, turn off, and they'll operate in your space.
Exactly. So, like, if you go to our site right now, normal people can't see this, but if I log in with my account, I have special rights that let me look under the hood. So
you're using some modules right now?
That's right. So I'm going to show you. So this is, these are some of the things that you need to do to manage your site. You need to deal with the way categories work, the content, the comments people make, the way the search engine on your site works and all this. You can build out your site by theming it, changing the colors, lay it out different.
Are these modules or are these modules?
It's a mix.
Okay.
This is like the friendly interface to it, but if I go to the modules, you'll be able to see what. So these are the core modules that come with it, with the core part, not any extra modules, but you can still turn them on and off because, you know, we don't need a blog on our site, so we don't turn that module on. And we, you know, so there's different things that I've turned on that let us do things, statistics. Yeah, it's all self-explanatory.
I mean, when you turn it on, does it just go into operation?
Yep.
Or do you have to set up how you like it to look and all this stuff?
So when you turn on a module, there's different ways that they present their functionality to you.
And where they present their functionality on?
So that back here they do, but this is like in an overview way. So even though three different modules might change the way comments work, you can get to all of their functionality through comments, but you can also go by module instead of task. So now I can see exactly what each module is contributing. So like the event module that lets me have the calendar and post dates and stuff, it has an option to configure permissions. And so when you look, you can see that there's some people who will be allowed to create events, and there's some people who will be allowed to edit only the events that they themselves made and not edit other people's events. And so the way I have it set up is that if you aren't logged in, you can't create an event. If you're an authenticated user, it means you have an account and you've logged in, so you can create events. And then I made two other kinds of people. I made a trusted account, which limits some of the, like the board meeting minutes and stuff, to only people who I've deemed trusted. Now, this is something we'll work on as we develop the site to say who deems who trusted and all that kind of garbage. And the webmaster gets extra privileges. Like, I get to administer certain kinds of things that regular people don't need to, but I'm a webmaster, so I get that kind of functionality. So that's just one example of the access control. But you can look and you can see that, you know, like when you do that, all of the events have certain permissions. So let's look. How many events do you want to show when you show a list of events? By default, do you want to see a month, day, week, table? What kind of calendar do you want to see? How many days do you want to show on a list? Do you want to allow people to sort calendars by taxonomy? You can turn it on or off. I turned it on because it's real handy because you can go to events. And then you can select a term to sort by. So, like, I only want to see board of directors related events. And then I click to that. And then, you know, there's three events here, but only board of directors. But that's something that event module provided that wasn't in Drupal.
So taxonomy is seeing...
It's the tagging system, like you just said.
So and by turning it, that's... So you turn it on as a organizing feature.
I turned on this right here.
Yeah.
This wouldn't be here unless that option in the module was said show the filter.
So when it says taxonomy filter for any different thing, that's what it's going to be, is a drop down.
Well, only for the events module.
Okay.
Because there's other things that also have taxonomy related to them, but they don't filter in the way that events do because it has its own calendar view. So some things are more overreaching and some things are real particular to there.
So what you were just in was a module
Yeah.
that somebody created somewhere.
Yeah.
And if you wanted to improve upon it, you could.
Yeah, so like, for example, yeah, so I'll just go right to it because I know that its project name is, but if you went in there, you'd see it. And you can see that it explains what it does, blah, 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 blah. Some of the other related modules that you might want to use, you know, like allow people to volunteer for the events and they can sign up and compile lists or find events because some people have real geographically related sites. I want to think of Georgia or whatever. And then the development happens here, and so you can look and you can see all of the things that people are working on related to the event. Oh, this thing doesn't work. I want to add this feature. Oh, I fixed this. Oh, I turned this off. Stuff like that. And the releases are such that some of them are a little shakier than others, so the development releases are like bleeding edge, and not all the bugs have worked out, but maybe it added a piece of functionality that you just can't live without.
So you could say, with enough messing around and with a little bit of help from somebody like you, could get in like this and make changes, make kind of under the hood changes without getting into code.
Exactly.
Without, so I mean, if you want to, you can to improve something that's already been created. But if I just wanted to use things people have created and not give back, we could do that.
Right. Exactly. So like you said, like you saw, like there's development going on, it's all code and stuff, but once you install it, this is your interface to it.
And it's just like picking off of add-on.NET modules or whatever.
It is. Except these, I think
these people are probably more clever and probably runs a lot better.
Right, because they're working on it all the time.
Mm-hmm. That takes a lot of the mystique out of it right off the bat, knowing that I'm not sure they'll ever, he could.
I would love to show him, but I just don't get the impression. I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but I just can't.
No, it's a hard, especially, I mean, it was even a hard thing for me at first because this thing got underway, the website, and I don't have a lot of extra free time, but I did want to see it run, and nobody else was really stepping up to try to figure things out or just even experiment with the thing. I was like, look, I'll take a look at it. Mm-hmm. You know, I can throw graphics at the company and make them look decent. Mm-hmm. And that's how I got on board. Mm-hmm. And I think he just likes to be in on everything and also not contradict, but he's always up for discussion. So it's, you could present the best option in the world, and he'll probably find a butt or a. Mm-hmm. That's just his. I mean, that's what he's good at, and that's good. I mean, we need that. But
I would like to.
It's mysterious, this thing, because to us it's like, because you know the terms and you don't feel bad about using them, and it scares us to death because when I heard Drupal, I was like, God, I look at it, it's just gonna be numbers and codes going across the screen like the Matrix, and you're going to be the only one with any control to do anything, and if you know, leave or whatever, it's going to be a nightmare. So just seeing this end of it makes me feel a lot better that it's not learning to fly an airplane or something.
Right.
It's the same kind of thing that we'd probably be doing otherwise.
It's just weird.
It's just more, probably.
We're steering the software choices, but once it's there, this is the same kind of feeling. But see, even with the at-home thing, the way I understand it, a lot of these kind of option changes that we might make to their modules, we still have to tell them to do it.
Yeah. I mean, we tell them we don't want this. I mean, we would want the calendar, but we don't want the calendar on anymore. Please take it off.
Yeah.
Do you have anything in red? I mean, we'd have to ask, what do you have? Like you said earlier, we would like to turn this on, the kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it is like a third person being involved.
But you're paying them to be involved.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
If we can take the responsibility off, you know, the worst, it seems like to me, if we take payment and things like that out, where we're just linking to their payment site, that's really the biggie that I can think of.
Yeah.
Then the responsibility and the accountability is really only if we elect to use a module that bugs aren't fixed. It drop somebody's photos or something like that. Yeah. I mean, hopefully they're not using that website as a storage place for photos, but
yeah,
you know, they're going to be like, oh, we dropped my thing, or that didn't work, and we take it off. We turn it off.
Yeah.
Until it can fix or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, we could approach it like that. Yeah. Or we could even, you could try to fix it or whatever.
Or you could,
but
even be more conservative and only use things that have been tested for 6 months. I mean, that's why.
Is there like a level where it's like gold
is.
Level or like?
Exactly. So in all of these kind of modules, there's different, there's stable releases and there's development releases.
Okay.
And so.
Stable is like.
Stable is like, it's a development release that's been out for 2 months and people have been hammering at it. And instead of developing new features, they've just been fixing the features out of what they've done so far. And then it upgrades to stable. And then if you want to add features, you add it to the development branch.
Mm-hmm.
And then that way, the stuff that gets to stable has been in the world for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And other people want to move on because they want to add functionality. But every time you add functionality, you add bugs. So keep the functionality out of it. You just fix the bugs. And then you release it to the world at large. And there's always that balance of people who prioritize bleeding edge. I need the functionality now. I don't care if there's a few bugs because I'd rather have it and I'll fix it if I get it. There's enough of those people that serve the community of people who, like, I don't even want to think about it. Give me something that works. And mm-hmm. I don't care if I'm a little behind the times. And that's how that development process works. And that's true across any of these open source projects.
Is the list of the things that we're looking at now, is this it? That's what's out there on this thing, the modules?
That's what I installed on this particular website.
So all these are installed, maybe in use, maybe not in use?
Right, to varying degrees. Okay. Yeah. So like the profile module allows you to create profiles for users so that a user can go to their profile page and say, you know, I live in unit 708 or I'm mm-hmm. interested in mm-hmm. soccer or whatever. I didn't roll that out because I don't know what kind of things we want to associate with
sure.
our users. So it doesn't.
Is
really
the list of modules like thousands, or I mean, is it?
Well, you saw the
just
list
for Drupal.
That you saw the list right here. So
that's the list. I mean, that's
yeah.
Okay.
There's different releases. 5 is the most recent release. But again, just because they came out with a new release doesn't mean you have to upgrade your website if every. So Drupal, the core part that all these modules plug into, mm-hmm. also has versions. And that's part of that, like, reaching stability kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then development happens and stable happens down here.
Mm-hmm.
So these are official releases of the core code. But obviously, say we put our website together and it's perfect. We don't want to change it. We don't need any of the new features. Well, we can continue to run version 4.7.
Mm-hmm.
And we just want to see modules that run for 4.7. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so we're running 5 right now. So if we want to just see the modules associated with 5, this is them by category. You can also just look at all of them just by name. And they have a little a little teaser that kind of tells you what
sure.
they all do. And so, and this has been a lot. This is actually a new system to me. I just picked this up a month ago because I wanted to put together the website and I was looking for
mm-hmm.
solutions. This caught my eye. So I'm still getting familiar with what all these different things can do for you.
AdSense, that's familiar to me from Google.
That's right. Yeah.
So that's exactly what they use on Google AdSense module for us.